Another parenting strategy that we can utilize is to practice conscious development in your parenting. We have given you a lot of parenting strategies over our time together, and we would suggest that you look over the list and choose just two or three of the strategies and start working on them, diligently working on them. That may mean that you've decided you're going to tighten up your action point because you want to work on the conscience of your children, and you're going to do that by tightening your action point. Or maybe you've decided your children really need to develop some compassion and caring about others, so you want to start to teach them about the concept of honor. Teach them how to honor others, because that's going to develop a sense of compassion in them. You know your family, you know your children. Choose a couple parenting strategies and focus on the conscience as you work with your children. Be deliberate about it. Make a choice of how you're going to start and where you're going to start.
One dad came up to us after a parenting seminar, and he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I realize that I can't help my son with his anger until I deal with my own." He had tears in his eyes as he shared that with us. You know, I said to him, this is the best place that you could be. If you can get a handle on this particular area of your life, you'll help your son in tremendous ways. Take some time, pull back, work on this. You see, I think that each of us needs to work on our own lives as well. And the family is like a laboratory for growth. It's not the children only who are growing. I mean, I used to think I was a pretty righteous person. Then I got married. I didn't realize how much selfishness I had. But that was nothing compared to having five children. That puts a lot of pressure on anyone. And it revealed some of my own weaknesses. God used that in my life to help me see some things that I need to work on. It's important for us to be able to admit our weaknesses to our children, to allow our children to see us, to be transparent with our kids, and allow them to experience even some of the struggles we face. As we do that, we're practicing conscience development in our parenting. It takes practice. We're developing in our children some very important things. It's really family development. We're working on it all together.
Another way that we can practice conscious development is to just think about the way we affirm children in family life. It's very good for us to be affirming our children, to be communicating to them that we appreciate them, but we don't want to just be focusing on their behavior and how they might be pleasing us. It's important for our children to know that they please us, but if we're only affirming them by saying, "Oh, you did a good job, you made me happy," we're just looking at externals in their life. We want to affirm the internal working in a child's heart. And so as we affirm children, we want to point out how it feels inside to do the right thing. Doesn't it feel good to do the right thing? Doesn't it feel good to be honest when it's difficult? So we want to affirm our children and praise them for the things that they're doing that are responding to the internal motivation, not just external.
Let's talk about the way you give instructions to your children. Because there is a way to give instructions to kids that's affirming in their conscience. You know that? You see, remember, the conscience makes us feel uncomfortable or comfortable. That's what happens with conscience development. Now, when you give a child an instruction, you ought to require three things of the child. One is they give an answer back to you. Then they go and do the job as if on a mission. And then they report back. They have a task to complete. They complete full circle. They have to report back. Require that your children report back, because when you do, that requires that they have completed their mission, in essence. Some children, you give them a job to do, and they go away, and they go and play on their video game or something, and they're feeling guilty inside. They're wondering, I wonder if Mom's going to find out if I'm doing the wrong thing. Or wonder if Mom's going to find out I just did a half of a job. I didn't complete it all. See, what we're requiring children to do is report back. It completes the cycle. It's really helping our children feel a little bit uncomfortable on the inside. Our children need to feel uncomfortable if they're not completing the task. After all, you feel uncomfortable when you've been given an instruction, don't you? We call that uncomfortable feeling responsibility. That's what we call it. When children haven't completed the job, they're not being responsible. They need to feel a little bit uncomfortable until they get the job done. That's all part of giving instructions to children in a way that increases the power of the conscience, even in giving instructions.
And remember when we talked about the part of the conscience that motivates a child to do what's right? Remember, the motivating emotion is obligation. Well, we can teach about obligation in the midst of that instruction process. As we give instructions and we send children off as if on a mission to get that job done, we're developing that sense of obligation. I got to get this done. It's expected of me. So we're teaching them about that sense of obligation as we're teaching them responsibility.
Now, there's some more parenting stuff you can do here in the instruction giving process, because when your child reports back, you have a very important responsibility at this moment. What you want to do when your child reports back is you want to go and do two things, inspect and release. Those two things are very important. You go and inspect the work that your child has done. You want to check and see if they did what you asked them to do. If you say to your son, go hang up the towel in the bathroom, and he just scrunches it into the towel rack, well, that's not doing what you asked. You go in there and say, you know, when I ask you to hang up the towel, what I mean is that you fold it and hang it nicely on the rack. That's what I mean when I give you the assignment to go and hang up the towel. So I want you to go ahead and do that and report back. You leave the bathroom, the child comes back and says, I did it. You go back in there and inspect his work. You want to see that what he's done is the right thing. One, you inspect. The second thing you do is you release him. This is the conscience-freeing statement that we give to our children. When you're done giving the instruction, he reports back, you inspect his work and you say, okay, you're free to go. That just blesses a child on the inside. Okay, you're free to go. It's the same feeling you have on Friday, if you have one of those Monday to Friday jobs, and you're off on Friday, go, yes, I'm out of here for the weekend. Some of our children never experience that in their lives. What we want to do is we want to bless them in this area of the conscience by checking their work and saying, okay, you're free to go. You did what you were supposed to do. There's that sense of relief instead of hiding over here in the corner and wondering if someone's going to find out that I didn't do the job I was supposed to do. We're teaching children what it means to follow through, complete the task, and then we release them. That's a conscience-freeing statement.
So you can see how we can develop the conscience just through the everyday instructions that we give to our children. We can also develop the conscience in the way we correct children, and we've talked about that some, about having that positive conclusion with our children, to end the discipline time with a positive statement of affirmation. That's a conscience-freeing statement to say, okay, you're free to go. You can go and try again. Those are the kind of statements we want to say to our children because we want them to enjoy that clear conscience as they're going through life.
See, we're suggesting that there are lots of practical things you can do to practice conscience development in your children. I would suggest that another thing you do is use the scriptures a lot. Study the scriptures for yourself, and as you do, you come to conclusions and understand certain things about the Bible. Share those with your child. How many times have I sat in my office with a child who's struggling in an area, and I say to the child, there's a Bible verse for that. There's something that can help you in that particular area of your life. I love doing that. You've heard the Mac commercials or the Apple iPod, and there's an app for that. Well, I like to say, there's a Bible verse for that. And our children need to hear that in their own lives. Let me tell you the story about Joey. Joey was 9 years old. I'd been working with him for some time. But this particular session, his mom came in and says, we've got to deal with this problem. She says, Joey steals my clothes, my underwear. He takes my underwear. And then he puts it on. And when I ask him, why are you putting my underwear on? He says, because I wish I were a girl. Would you talk to him about that? I said, sure, I'll talk to him about that. So Joey came into my office. I said, Joey, we got to talk about this stealing thing. He says, what do you mean? I says, well, it sounds like you steal your mom's clothes. And he put his head down, obviously guilty, feeling bad about himself. I said, why do you steal your mom, or what clothes do you steal from your mom? I said. He says, I steal her underwear. I says, well, why do you steal it? He says, because I like to put it on. I said, well, why do you put on your mom's underwear? He says, because I wish I were a girl. I said, why in the world do you wish you were a girl? He says, because girls are gentle and kind, and they don't get in trouble as much as boys do. I said, oh, that's not like some of the girls I work with. But I said, you know, let's talk about that for a moment. Because you want to be like me. Do you think I'm gentle? Do you think I'm kind? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, I want to be like you. I mean, we have the same thing. We want to be that way. In fact, you're going to make a great husband someday because your wife's going to appreciate the fact that you are kind and gentle. You're going to make a great dad someday because your kids are going to appreciate that. I said, do you know that there are some men who think they have to be mean in order to be manly? You know that that's not the case. You know that you want to be kind and gentle. I said, do you feel more kind and gentle when you put on your mom's clothes? He says, yes. And then I thought about it. Then it came to me. I said, you know, there's a Bible verse just for you. Let me go to my computer. I looked up the verse in Colossians 3:12, and I printed it out, and I brought it back, and I said, here's the Bible verse for you. You're not going to believe this. Notice what it says right there, and I read it to him. I says, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Wow. I said, you know, that verse wasn't just written to men. It was written to women. It was written to children. It was written to everybody. You don't have to put on clothes to have those qualities. God says to put on the qualities. You can put on those qualities. It's a good thing you want them. Those qualities are very important for you and for me. He was tickled by that. I gave him the paper. He took it and he went home. The next week, when he came to my office, he came walking in my office, and before I could even greet him, he says, I didn't steal anything this week. Now, I knew what he was talking about, but I was kind of playing with him. So I said, what do you mean? I didn't steal my mom's clothes. You could hear the freedom, the conscience freedom in his voice. I didn't steal my mom's clothes. I said, oh, really? What was your secret to success? He says, that verse you gave me. I said, what verse? He says, that one on the paper. I said, well, what did it say? And he quoted it. He says, clothe yourself with compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness, and patience. Wow, he'd memorized the verse. The scriptures had changed the way he thought. Now, I got to tell you, if that boy would have gone into another counselor's office, another counselor might have given him a completely different solution to that kind of problem. But here's a boy, all he needed to do was have the freedom that comes from understanding God's word. That's what he needed. If we're going to help our children by practicing conscience development in our parenting, we want to use the scriptures regularly in the lives of our kids. The scriptures are powerful. They help us to change in some significant ways.
It's amazing how the scriptures can change a child's heart. The scriptures can change a child's life. The scriptures are not just for adults. They're not just to change our hearts and our lives. They're for kids too. And so we need to be looking for opportunities to share the scriptures with the children, because our children need the scriptures. They need God's work in their lives through the Holy Scriptures.
Let's share with you another parenting strategy. You want to create an environment for your child to be a hero in training. Now, I love this one because, remember, we've written some children's program curriculum that complements what you're learning here. It's called Hero Training Camp. Why? Because heroes are characterized by four things. They do what's right, they deal with wrongs, they're honest, and they care about others. Wow, that's remarkable. I think that's why children love heroes, is because God has placed a conscience inside that's sensitive to those four areas in a child's life. We want to help our children be heroes now. In Hero Training Camp, they're studying the life of David. Well, David was a hero when he killed Goliath, but you know, there was a lot of things he did early on in his life to prepare for that. We tell kids, you can be a hero right now. David practiced his harp. He must have practiced it a lot because the king invited him in and gave him a job in the palace. David practiced his slingshot. He practiced it over and over again, so he was pretty good at that. David was responsible with sheep, and he took care of sheep. So responsible that one time a lion came, another time a bear came, and he was able to get rid of those animals and protect his sheep. We want to teach children that you can be a hero right now in your life. You don't have to wait till you graduate from high school. You don't have to wait till you become an adult. You can be a hero right now. In fact, your family is Hero Training Camp. Life is Hero Training Camp for you. You want to respond to those things that God is doing because God has placed in your heart a conscience. You want to listen to the Holy Spirit in your life because God is going to prompt you. Sometimes He'll speak right through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak through the conscience. When the conscience prompts you, it'll prompt you to do what's right, deal with wrongs, be honest, care about others. Those are all hero kinds of things. You want to listen to that. You want to pay attention. You want to respond and take initiative. Take action when you get those promptings. You're practicing being a hero. Be a hero now. Don't wait till later. It starts right now, and it starts in your home. So work on being a hero in training.
We want to equip our children. We want to empower them. We want to give them a vision for being a hero right now. Whether your child is 5, whether he's 6, whether he's 10, whether he's 13, he can be a hero now. She can be a hero now because she's facing challenges in life. He's facing challenges in life, and he has the opportunity to be a hero in that situation. And so we want to talk to our children about how fun it would be to be a hero right now in life. You don't have to wait till you're a grown-up. You can do hero things now, and we want to help our children do that.
Let's look at another theology. Let's look at the theology of God's will. How does God accomplish his tasks in the world? When we look at a theology of God's will, one of the things we find out is that God accomplishes his will through people. God uses ordinary people like you and me to accomplish what he wants to do in life. And he empowers us, and he prompts us to do those things. You see, when we understand that, then we want to be sensitive to what God is doing in the world. Is he asking me to be the one to go and talk to that person? Should I be the one to go and apologize to someone because I've done the wrong thing, even if my part's only 10%? Is God prompting me to go out and take initiative in this area to make a wrong right or to care for someone? All of those are part of what God wants to do in the world. He's looking for available people, ordinary available people like you and me and our children. We want children to understand that God uses even a child to accomplish his task. There are a number of examples in the Bible of ways that God used children to accomplish his task. Let's do it now. Be ready. Let me tell you about Jo Lynn. They've been working on hero training camp in their home, talking about being a hero and living out hero qualities. And Mom asked the same question that she always asked when her daughter came home. How was school today? And Jo Lynn says, I was a hero today. Oh, you were? Well, tell me about it, Mom said. Well, the teacher needed someone to help, and so I volunteered to help her. And then there was a new girl, and I introduced her to some of my friends, so she became part of our friendship group. Jo Lynn was being a hero in training. She was taking initiative. She was grabbing this whole concept of being a hero, what it looks like. You see, when you focus on the conscience, good things happen. The idea of being a hero is so much fun. Kids can identify with that easily. For young children, the idea of being a hero seems like fantasy. Our job is to help them see that it can be a reality in their lives. Older children love heroes too. Heroes they see in the media, though, often aren't exemplary. They have inner battles they must face with themselves before they can help solve the problems of the world.
One of the greatest tools for developing a clear conscience in your child is your own example. Your integrity when faced with a dishonest but profitable opportunity, your willingness to deal with offenses humbly, your personal sacrifice to care for someone else, your convictions, all of those things are valuable tools that children pick up.
If you think about it, parents can be heroes too. They too do what's right, deal with wrongs, are honest, and care about others. God has given you a conscience, and it will prompt you in significant areas in your own life. Ask God to cleanse your conscience and to make it a valuable tool that you can use even in your own home.